the verse, it is true. He is the same yesterday, today, and that forever. I find in the Scriptures that multiple times we find that Jesus is always showing up in places of the Bible. He shows up in places of the Old Testament. I've heard people say before, they say, "Preacher, Jesus is only a New Testament type thing," but I beg to differ, friend. Jesus is in the Old Testament. He is the Old Testament. He shows up in the old Scriptures. He is the written law. He is the Word of God. He's never changed. He's still who He says He is. And oftentimes, though the world may try to change who He is, and though the world might change the definition or how we define the Lord, I'm glad He's still the same God. I'm glad He's still the same Savior. I'm glad He's still the one who came, bled, and died, and rose again. I'm glad that all the way back in the Old Testament, oftentimes people may not realize it, but I never forget in Genesis chapter number 22, when Abraham is fixing to sacrifice his son, and Isaac looked at Abraham and said, "Daddy, I see the wood and I see the fire, but Daddy, where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, "Son, God will provide Himself a sacrifice." And I'm glad when they got to the top of the mountains of Moriah, when they got up there, the Bible says that when Abraham was about ready to sacrifice his own son, that the angel of the Lord spoke unto Abraham and said, "Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand." And he looked over there and there was a ram caught in the thicket. I'm glad that God did provide a sacrifice for Abraham that day on the mountains of Moriah. I'm glad back in the days of King David, when David sinned against God, when he numbered the people of Israel and the curse came upon the children of Israel, that he went to Ornan's threshing floor and he had to offer up a sacrifice. And he went to Ornan. He said, "Ornan, I need the threshing floor. I need the instruments. I need everything there is." He says, "I need it all to sacrifice." And Ornan says, "You can take the threshing floor. You can take the instruments. You can take the meat offering." He said, "I give it all." Oh, bless God. Can I say I'm glad that God knew what He was doing and God gave it all. When Ornan gave up that threshing floor, David said, "I can't take it for free. It's going to have to cost something." And on that very threshing floor in that very same area, they established the first temple that Solomon built. And it was on the mountains of Moriah. Y'all, am I hearing the preacher? And I'm glad over 2,000 years ago, though it was a dark and dreadful day, I don't know why they call it Good Friday. I'll tell you this, I don't even believe it was on Good Friday. I don't know what anybody else thinks about that. But I don't think it was good. I don't care what day it was on. But it was on the mountains of Moriah, Brother James, that God testified and spoke of and prophesied that sacrifice the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Jesus Christ died upon them in the mountains of Moriah on a place called Golgotha, which being interpreted called the place of skull. There He gave His life down. He says, "I lay it down freely and I take it up again." Oh, bless God, I'm glad that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still amazing. He's still the same one. He's never changed. He hasn't got sick. He's not asleep. Thank God for that. We're living in days and times now. And it was funny. I tried to do this and I was going to look and see, because I know it's the end of the year. We're fresh out of Christmas and we're heading towards the New Year's and everything of that nature. And I begin to think about all the things that the people try to do, the years in review, and all the great things and all the important things that happened. And I begin to think about all the things that happened God-wise, church-wise, and Christianity-wise. And the most important things that I have found is that it has not changed, Brother James. God's people are still being persecuted. God's people are still being killed. Thank God there's still people still willing to stand on the battlefront and stand in the firing line and be willing still to proclaim the gospel. I still find that American Christianity is on a decline, but I'm finding it's on an incline out in other places, where they're not spoiled and defiled by the things of the world. But can I say, I'll say this, I saw that they were one of the most important things that they had this past year in 2019, is that they showed some half-naked woman playing an instrument on the music television, on the television, some kind of video, and they said that was a great thing that happened in 2019. I sit there thinking to myself, going, God help us, that's what we've done ourselves down the ditches of debauchery for. Then I heard they said one of the greatest things that's ever happened this year in 2019 in the United States of America, that in the state of California, they passed a law that you can wear your hair any way you want to. Nobody can discriminate, because that's your hair. You can wear it any way you want to. God help us. us when a person's hairdo becomes legislation in our country. Of course, then we find also, too, they did the 10-year expanse from 10 years ago to 10 years now to see what people look like. And they were bragging about how there was one pop singer, and I ain't going to mention her name, how she looks the same today as she did 10 years ago. Not one mention of people getting better. Not one mention of people getting being fed. Not one mention of the gospel being preached. Not one mention of the gospel being spread. But we do find out that we've turned our government upside down, accusing our president of things and making ourselves a mockery in the whole entire world. And I don't care where you stand on which side of it. God help us. God help us. When we've turned from God and turned from the Bible and turned from church and put our hopes and trusts in things of this world, when the Bible says Jesus has not changed, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The hard times were in the past. The hard times are today. And if there's a future, there'll still be hard times. But friend, we should lift up our head and praise God, because Jesus was in the hard times of the past. Jesus will be in the hard times of today. And if there's a tomorrow, Brother Don, Jesus will still be there. Something worth being excited about. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2019's had our shares of ups and downs, bumps and bruises, turmoils and fights and discouragement. Can I say, aren't you glad today at the end of the year? We got a couple more days, and then it's 2020. Can you say, thank God He brought me through the year? And can I say, though there's been valleys and though there's been hardships, I'm still glad He is still the lily of the valleys. Woo! I'm glad He is still the rose of Sharon. Please don't take this the wrong way. I thank God for the poinsettias that we got from Brandon. They all look pretty and everything. But I notice one's looking pretty healthy and one's looking kind of putrid. And one looks like it's needing a transplant of something else. And one looks like it's got the goods. Can I say, that's what it felt like at times for me this past year. It felt like I was right ready to bloom and bust out and take off a running. And other times it felt like I was about ready for the casket and God was done with me. But can I say, thank God the rose of Sharon has never faded. The rose of Sharon's never gone dry. I'm glad that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you might be thinking right now, preacher, how many times are you going to say that until it gets in the midst of your heart to realize to shout the praises of God? Or lift up a hand and say, thank God Jesus said He's never left me nor forsaken me. And He ain't going to do it in 2020. Didn't do it in 2019. Didn't do it in 2018. He's still the same. We look at the situations and the circumstances of our life. We cannot control, we cannot change time. Time is always a constant. I'm reminded in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, the Bible says there's a time and a purpose for all things under heaven. Talks about a time to live and a time to die. Time to be born, a time to kill. Time to heal, time to sow. Time to rent that which is sowed. Oftentimes we look, time to plant, time to pluck up the which is planted. And oftentimes we look at the uncertainty and the inconsistency of time. We often say there's one thing for sure, and that's death and taxes. But I know some people who dodge their taxes, Brother James. I know some people sometimes it's trying everything they do to dodge death. But can I say there's one thing I can say it's honestly true throughout it all, and that's Jesus Christ. I have found that throughout time and throughout the steps that I've made throughout 2019, the missteps and the mistakes that I've made, Brother Kenny, I'm glad God didn't throw me away. I'm glad God didn't toss me to the side. I'm glad He didn't fire me. Somebody say amen right there. I thought about this, Brother Don. I thought about bringing a bunch of applications in. I know you struggled for a while trying to find help, to find somebody that would be worthy to work and just show up to work and work, just to show up and do the job. It was hard trying to find people to do that. I remember Don even put it on Facebook. And I thought one time, I said, now I guess it was my thought. It wasn't the Lord's thought. And I had it back in the first part of the year to bring applications in and pass them out to everybody that God was hiring for somebody to get into the ministry business with Him. And I remember, Brother James, whenever I signed my name on that document at Warren County, saying that the duties that I was supposed to perform for my job, that if I did not perform my duties, they had every right to fire me. And then I got to thinking about the duties that God requires of me. And can I say, I ought to have been fired years ago. Please don't take this personal, but you should have been fired years ago. But aren't you glad God's a good God and He changeth not? Though we make a mistake, though we make a misstep, He's still the same and still full of forgiveness and love. He changeth not. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I find the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter number 3. We love those verses. No doubt that might be preached tonight or might be preached Wednesday or here and everywhere else. Maybe everywhere it'd be preached at the same time. I don't know. But it's one of them wonderful verses for the end of the year. had one of my youngins ask me, they said, Dad, why do we observe the time? Why do we worry about New Year's? I said, well, time is important to us down here. God is not confined by time, but we are. We know we have a short space of time. We know we have times to do things and time to this and time to that. Even I've been reading Brother James in Revelation, and Revelation chapter number 3, we talked about Revelation chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, Thyatira talked to that woman Jezebel, gave her a space of time to repent. Time is important to us. Would you all agree? Can I say this? The Bible says, call upon the Lord while he may be found, seek him while he is near. So that means you've got a space of time, a frame of time that you're supposed to seek the Lord. God told Noah back in Genesis chapter number 6, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But we're living in a day and time now when people try to say, you can call upon God anytime, day or night. He will always answer. And can I say, I'm glad I have found him to be that way. But Brother Don, my Bible tells me that there is certain times that if God has called and God has called and God has begged, and the Bible says they laughed at God. They mocked God when he called upon them. He says, mark her down. He says, you'll call upon me and you'll cry after me. He says, now I'll laugh in your calamities. Oh, yes. Somebody might say, preacher, that's the God of the Old Testament. That's not the God of the New Testament. I beg to differ. Friend, my Bible says in the Old Testament, he changeth not. And in the New Testament, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I say this as a warning out to everybody that's a listener to this preacher? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you're saved, if you're not right now in this message. But what I do care about is you better seek the Lord while he may be found. You better call upon him while he's near. If he's tugging at that heart, if he's beating at your life, and he's trying to get your attention, friend, it's not the preacher who's trying to get your attention. It's God Almighty trying to get your attention. And friend, he's the same yesterday and today and forever, and he's wanting to save your soul, guide your life, and bless you and help you throughout your days. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter number 3. If you'd like to turn, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, chapter 3, verse 13. But this one thing I do, he says, I don't count myself that I've apprehended. What he's saying, Brother Logan, I have not got to the place where I have arrived, that I finally made it, that I've got everything that God says I'm supposed to do. I've got it all covered. I haven't got to the part where I'm glorified and shining and everybody's got to look at me. He says, brethren, I have not count myself to have apprehended. I still got a ways to go. He said, but this one thing I do, can I say, the Apostle Paul put it all into perspective. He said, this one thing I do. He says, I forget. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, the one thing I do is forget the things that are behind me. You know, can I say in a message we've often preached, I think it's true, all those sins that we've worried about throughout 2019. Oh, can I say, Brother Nathan, I'm glad God did not reward me according to my iniquities, nor he dealt with me according to my sins. But the one thing I can't do, y'all listen to the preacher, I can't sit back here and waller in my pity, waller in my selfishness, waller in the things that I have done wrong. Can I say, when mark them up, it ain't going to be the only year you've ever sinned and come short. It's not going to be the only year you ever made a mistake. It's not going to be the only year that you ever misstepped. It's not going to be the only year you didn't follow God. But friend, what will happen is you'll be so worried about the things, the sins of the past, that you'll never reach forward towards God, never reach forward toward the things that are before. What is that? Where God wants you to be, as long as you're watering in the muck and the mire, friend, he can't get you and put you on the rock. And Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind. He forgot the past sins. He also forgot the past accomplishments. I mean, think about everything that Paul did. I mean, Paul was a pretty good fella, wouldn't you all agree? I mean, when it comes to accolades, no one can touch his accolades. In Philippians chapter 3, it talks about his accolades. He talks about his heritage. He talks about his lineage. He talks about his status. He talks about how much he prospered in the Pharisaical religion. He said, all them people that could brag about things that they've done, he said, I could brag the more. He said, hey, I come from the good stock. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, the Hebrew, circumcised the eighth day. He could say, I was circumcised the eighth day. You know who else was circumcised the eighth day? Jesus was circumcised the eighth day. He could brag. He could beat his chest. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to do this. Not only am I going to forget the sins, I'm going to forget the past accomplishments. Can I say there's one thing that's wrong? It's hard for some of us in the Baptist realm and the Baptist churches and churches in general and religious folks. We tend to hang on to things that happened in the past as if they happened just now. And we use them for a crutch and a prod and a cattle prod, Brother Eddie, if that's for a lack of a better term, to shock people and to let them know just how wrong today's time is and how better it was back then. Back in them old days, Brother James, have church. Used to have people show up 45 minutes for church. They were singing, shouting out in the parking lots. You know, back then, that's when things was good. That's when things was great. Preaching messages for only 15 minutes and 150 people getting saved on a Sunday. We had all kinds of things back then. But the one thing, the problem there is, I've heard that all my saved life, and I'm not knocking any man or any woman who's ever done it. My Bible tells me God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is we ought to let go of the things that happened in the past, Brother Kenny, and latch on to the Holy Ghost of God to get things done today. I want to see somebody singing 45 minutes before church. I want to see a preacher preaching for 15 minutes and the gospel come glorious down. Is anybody hearing this preacher? And if I have to be the one show up 45 minutes early, then bless God, that's what it ought to be. But too many times we rest upon our past sins and say we can't do this and can't do that. Oftentimes we rely on our past acclimate, our past achievements, and say I've already arrived and I've done this or done that. And lastly, a lot of times we rest upon our past blessings. God has provided for me for this. God has blessed me with this, and God has blessed me with this. Almost like they got the 401k plan and the pension plan in heaven, thinking it's going to be good. Me and Brother James just talked about this, and me and Brother Kenny was talking about this. As it's looking right now, we don't know if Oprah's is even going to be there for them people that's going to retire, like folks like me and some other folks that's in that kind of business. But can I say that thing might retire, that thing might expire, that thing might not be there when I get there. But can I say I've got a salvation pension plan up in glory that I ain't got to worry about fading out away. It's eternal in the heavens, Brother James. Oh, can I say, don't rest on the past blessings. Don't rest on the past acclimates. Don't rest on the past sins. But oh, Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind, and I press forward, I reach forward to the things that are before. Paul told the church of Colossae, he said this, he said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. He said, oh yes, for when Christ, who is our hope, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Jesus says, where your treasure is where your hearts will be also. So friends, forget the things that's been troubling you. Forget the things that you've been resting in, and press and reach towards Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Apostle Paul said, all those things I've got, he said, I give them up and count them all as dung. For the lack of the English language, manure. He counts them all manure and fertilizer. Nothing. He said, I give them all up. Now, here's the thing that I have found in my past years, and I found the Apostle Paul told this correctly. And this is the part we don't like. Y'all listen to the preacher? He said, give all these things up. Give them all up. He said, it's not by my righteousness that I've done these things. He said, but I leave these things alone. I give them up. I surrender them. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Can I say that's the difference maker when people get born again and saved? There's a resurrecting power in their life. Y'all listen to the preacher? What wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray? My pastor even said it here the last time he was here and he preached. He said, he talked about waking up in the middle of the night preaching. And I don't know if any other preachers have done that. I used to feel kind of bad because I never did. I thought maybe I was lackluster, but what I was doing, I was comparing myself to things I shouldn't be comparing in. And Brother James, I have. But I got to thinking that I don't rest on the things that are of the past. I don't rest on things and dreams. I got to press forward and press more farther towards, he said, the power of his resurrection. But he also says to be made in fellowship of his sufferings. Now, this is the part that no Christian likes to talk about. This is the message that no preacher likes preaching. But I remember told God 19 years ago, I'll preach the messages that no preacher wants to preach. And go to the places nobody wants to go. Just send me. And nobody wants to talk about the suffering that takes place. Friend, if you're saved, if you are a one who follows God, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer the belittling. You're going to be bad-mouthed, laughed at, and mocked. Y'all listen to the preacher? And it's not, it's a, and I'll say this, it hurts, Sister Shirley, when people of the world mock you, but when your own family and friends mock you. But it gets even worse when the church turns their back on you. We live in 2019. And surely we are living in the place, we're living in the country where the gospel should be most proclaimed and most shined and glorified. But friend, it's the place where it's most cursed. It's the place where it's denied. It's the place where it's most rejected. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank God for all the things that He's done for me. Brother Don, I feel kind of bad for the things I didn't do for Him. I find that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I find that verse matching up with Paul in Philippians 3. Paul said, I have not yet apprehended, but this one thing I do. He goes, I can't think about the things that I've done. I can't think about the good things and how things used to be. I've got to keep going. I can't think about the things that I've messed up. And I love Romans chapter 7. Please don't think I'm browbeating nobody. I'm just preaching. And Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do them. We're all guilty of that. He said, the things I ought not to do, he goes, I do them. I know we ain't going to have a show of hands, but Kenny, I've been guilty of that. And God's not looking for a perfect person. He's looking for a willing person. And an accessible person. A person who's saying, Lord, I may have failed yesterday, and You forgave me yesterday, but God, today is today. I want to be a help today. Can I say this? And some folks may think I'm crazy. The day I got saved, James, I wanted to get saved. I wanted relief more than anything else. It's hard to find people under conviction anymore. It's hard to find somebody desiring God anymore and saying, I need Him, I need Him, I need Him, sink or swim, live or die. I need Him. Why do we need Him? Because without Him, we're nothing. I find in these scriptures that when the Apostle Paul, he says, I reach to the things that are before. Verse 14, he said, I press towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And me and Brother Dax Talby, we go back and forth. We love poking fun at one another. Me and Dax have a little differences in things that we see in the scriptures, and we always get to the place where we talk about the crowns, and we have fun going back. But that's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, that crown of righteousness, that crown of life, that crown of glory. What Paul was saying, for some of us that don't realize what's going on, Paul says, I don't want nothing from this world to give me. I want everything that God has to give me because I followed Him. If you flip back to Hebrews chapter 13 and that you see what the writer had wrote, and the writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, he said this. He says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said them words in midst of a context that he was going in Hebrews 13. If you look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 13, he says, let brotherly love continue. I've noticed in a lot of the writings of the Apostle Paul, the one thing he'd always try to remind those churches was, let your love for one another continue. Brother Jeff, if my love and your love cannot continue, then we're not examples of Christ. I've heard people before say, well, preacher, I love them, I just don't like them. I love them, but I just can't be around them. My Bible tells me, as much that lies within me, live peaceably with all men. I have found some of my worst enemies. I have found being around them, and some of them, Sister Shannon, in my own last name. But I found what David said in Psalm 23 to be so true. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The problem is I lock in, if I got situated, if my love can't continue, it's because I've locked on the carnal instead of looking on the things before me. And this is what he said. He said, let brother love continue. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Can I say how we treat strangers? It speaks a whole lot about us. And here's the one thing that I have found. I'll just admit one of my flaws. The Bible says confession faults one to another. Sister Melissa, I found I treat strangers sometimes better than people in my own household. So either I'm fake to the stranger, I'm unloving to my family. What he's saying, Sister Shirley, is be consistent. Let brotherly love continue and keep that brotherly love with one another and keep that love to strangers. You never get a second chance to make a first impression on a stranger. And that stranger needs to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because that's what Paul says he is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter says, sanctify God in your hearts. I want to say this. I want to clear my platform a little bit and just make sure that people think that maybe I've forgotten. You know, I found out as my kids get older, and as they get older and older, I found the terrible twos ain't nothing compared to the ungodly teens. And the horrific graduated, getting ready to go off into the real life, Brother Kenny. I'm finding by the end of this engagement, me and Kenny might be so plumb bald, we might have to go have one of them plugs put in our head to have any kind of hair at all. I will say this, but one thing cannot shake, one thing cannot change, and one thing cannot move. And I'm glad it's preached in this church house, and that's holy living. And that's right living. I found in this scripture, and I hope you all listen close, this is not Jason's opinion. This is not James Powell's opinion. This is Bible. Roll your eyes, tilt your head, do all the things you want, but it's still Bible. Rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. That's what the scripture says. And he says, you better watch how you act towards one another. You better watch how you act towards strangers. And then he says, remember them that are in bonds as you be in bonds with them. That means there's some people who's actually doing something. Don't roll and curl your nose up at them. Can I say, there's been so many people that's rolled up their nose and rolled their eyes at Mount Zion Baptist Church for things that we've been doing. But you know what? They can roll their eyes and stick their nose all they want. God's a blessing. I say amen. But I have found that those people that are in bonds, we shouldn't roll our eyes and stub our nose at them. I thought about all them people over there. And I thought about them folks in those foreign countries. They stormed in and blew them up, and they burned them alive, and they shot and they killed them, cutting off heads and things like that for the cause of Christ. We should remember them, even though we've never seen them. But somebody needs to be praying for them. So we got to have our character towards them that we know, a character towards them that we don't know, our character towards them that are in bonds, and also them which suffer adversity, being as being yourselves also one body. He's telling us to continue together. What are you reaching for? Is there something before to reach for? Oh, yes. And then he says in verse number 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage bed, the marriage bed is still the way that God says it ought to be. That's the way it needs to be preached. I have never in my day thought I'd hear of it. Some of you, I'm going to please forgive me just the lack of English. Some of you old timers never thought you'd see a day where the way that they have treated marriage in this country, the way they've adulterized marriage in this country, the way they have perverted marriage in this country. And friend, it ain't over yet. They're going to do more and more and more. I've told you once that they've been trying it for years. There's grown, sick, disgusted, evil, Satan-filled men at the Supreme Court trying to get it passed where they can love on and marry 10-year-old boys and try to make a marriage bed. You say, preach, I'm not preach that way. It needs to be preached. God help us. Not only are people supposed to live right, but the middle-aged people ought to live right. The old people ought to live right. Why? We ought to live holy in this present dying world. He says the marriage bed is honorable. Friends, it's an honor for you to keep yourself unto marriage. It's pleasing in the eyes of God to keep yourself to your marriage. Young ladies, don't you listen to that punk kid with his britches hanging down. You live a right life and a chaste life in the presence of God. And you young boys, keep your hands to yourself. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Somebody say amen right there. It's in the scripture. It ain't been hit in a while, but thank God they get every now and then, and we're hitting her today. Marriage is honorable, and the marriage bed is undefiled. But whoremongers, Whoremongers is an all-encompassing word. It talks to fornicators. Fornicators. Let me put it to you a little bit in Blanchester Hebrew. It's people who can't wait. Like there's something big going to happen. Ain't nothing big going to happen. The marriage bed is undefiled. It's honorable. It's pleasing in the eyes of God. It's been good. It was good for our grandparents. It was good for our parents. It's good enough for us. Amen. He said, let your conversation, verse 5, be without covetousness and be content with such thing as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm almost done. I have to say this. This verse hit me square in my heart the last couple weeks. I looked up, and I always thought covetousness was just something, you know, out beyond my reach. But covetousness is a strong, inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good. Usually it's in a bad sense and applied to an inordinate desire of wealth or various, which is a strong desire or eagerness. Before you'll know it, it turns to greed. I've always associated that with money. Always associate that with money. Preachers often tell tales, the reason why, because a lot of folks won't admit it. But I'll share something with you. When I was a young preacher, there were certain preachers, their names carry a certain weight. Whenever those preachers' names was mentioned, people's eyes would light up. Y'all listen to me? Singers was that way, Brother Nathan. Certain singers' names would be mentioned, my eyes would light up. I wanted to be like them or better than them. And what I would do is not spend my time following the Lord, Sister Shirley. I spent my time trying, how can I be like them? Or how can I be better than them? That's called covetousness. Had a strong desire to be like, let's use Charles Spurgeon, the son. I wanted to be like them. I wanted our church to be like the best church there ever was. I knew of a young preacher used all over the counties. He was often called for revivals. He was often called for to do those things, and very popular. You mentioned his names, people would light up. Well, they asked him to pastor this church, and the words that he always said was, we're going to be the best, biggest, most powerful church than any other church around. We'll outdo all them other churches. That's what he would always say. That church grew by leaps and bounds. It was a Baptist church. Next thing you know, things changed. But as they built and as they tried to do things through covetousness, things crept in. When he says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's for us to keep our eyes focused upon him. Y'all listen to the preacher. I'm about done. I won't go and list everything, Sister Sally, but there's Sunday school teachers spending 30 years in the pen for child molestation. There's people whose families have been ripped apart and torn apart because covetousness crept in and they wanted to be something when God said, no, just be what I want you to be. Of all the people, Brother James, the Apostle Paul says, man, I could brag, I could do everything I can. But he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, and God sent me a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest my head get too big. Psst, get real big. He said, I sought the Lord 3 times. But God didn't take that away. He said, my grace is sufficient. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer of Hebrews writes all those things, Brother Millard, and he comes to that place. He says, remember then they have the rule over you, considering their end of their faith, their conversation. He says, that's an example you can look back to. But Jeff, we've seen some good examples. Folks who have ran the race, they have finished their course. They have kept the faith, fought the good fight. It gives us a reason to keep going. I don't know about you, but has God been in your past? Has God been in your life this past year? I hope everybody would say amen. There was a good spot right there to say, heaven, real good and loud. Why? Because God has been in my past this 2019. But I should be able to shout just as much for today and for tomorrow. Jesus Christ is in my today and future. 2019's wrapping it up. I said, Sister Tracy's baby's back there on the board. But I also reminded Sister Tracy of getting born again himself. Say, hallelujah. I remember what happens when we allow God in our life. A fella at a nursing home, when most people pay no attention to nursing homes, hardly no more. But one man planted, one man watered, and God gave the increase. I'm reminded, though we may help far, though we may help near, Brother Josh, it's not whether or not if we see it, it's whether or not if we do it. I wonder today, you that's here underneath the sound of my voice, is Jesus Christ been in your life in 2019? Is He your Lord and Savior? I think it's kind of comical. I hear people all the time calling His Lordship salvation. Y'all believe Jesus Christ has to be Lord of a person's life. Well, it's not that I have to believe that. The Bible says He's Lord of all. And if He ain't Lord of all, He ain't Lord at all. Do you remember the time? Do you remember Him saving you? Have you solely and wholly surrendered to Him? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Are you struggling with things of sin? I remember growing up with that. This is what they'd always say. Oh, Jason, they're just being honest. That's what they'd always tell us. Jason thought he wasn't a bad kid. He's just being honest. Boy, some of them old ladies knew what honoriness was being done. They wouldn't say they was honest. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If your name is not found in that book of life, heaven is not your home. If you have not been born again, you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. Hell is real, hell is hot, and hell is still in existence. Though a lot of churches now are on the decline, the United States spiritually is declining, now they won't preach hell no more. They say hell doesn't exist. It's a figment of our imagination. For the last 15 years, another attack has been going on the King James Bible. And the guy who headed and leaded the attack, they thought they'd one up everybody. Get this, I love how God works. They thought they'd put in this great big giant brainiac mainframe computer. And they said, which Bible is the best Bible? There's always in their controversy which the best Bible is. Y'all listen to the preacher? And they were all stunned and they were all upset because you know what that computer spit out? It spit out three volumes. And all three volumes, they only said there's only one Bible a person should use. That's that King James. Can I say, though the attacks may differ, though the battles may rage, though they may come on different fronts, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The most important thing is He your Jesus? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? I'm not talking about a t-shirt. I'm not talking about a bumper sticker or a cross on a chain. I'm talking about a Savior who lives in your heart and your desire is to live in His. Christian, would you come? Give us a song. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've preached the best that I could preach.